Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the podcast. As always, obviously, I'm sure if you're following me on social, you know about this, but if you don't, I am doing Tea with Gary Vee. I've been doing it for about a month. It's been remarkable. If you're not following it, you're making a huge mistake. 9 a.m. Eastern time during this crisis, we're doing some incredible stuff. Please check it out. Tea with Gary Vee, live on all my social platforms every morning at 9 a.m. Twitter is definitely the place that you can't miss it. In general, I think if you're not following me on Twitter, it's a huge mistake. Gary Vee on Twitter. Check it out.
This is the Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's Tea with Gary Vee. Sipping empathy, I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free. This is Tea with Gary V. Might go make a flip, take a risk.
Good morning, Tea fans. It is me, Gary V. Early morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time on this May 15th, halfway through this month. We're just kind of all going through this. I hope everybody's super well. I missed you guys. Leave a comment if you missed Tea with Gary V yesterday. Let me know. Because it's nice to be missed, because I missed you guys heavy. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hello, hello. Let's give some shout outs. Tatiana Spencer, good to see you here. Casey Smith, thank you. Julio Garcia, great to see you. Max Hendricks, good morning. Big shout out to everybody who just came over from text on community. If you're not following me on text, 212-931-5731, 212-931-5731. Text me, lock me in when the contact card comes out, fill out the info, get with me on it. A lot of fun there. If you just came over from text, because I just blasted all of you, said come and join me for some tea, leave a comment saying text. Just reply text in whatever platform you're using. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. It's good to have all of you here. So yeah, there we go. See some people, love it. Yes, wine text, we will get to that right hook at some point here today. All right, let's get into it. Dustin, how are you? Dust, before we get into it.
Good.
Your hair's looking good.
Yeah, I took a shower last night and went straight to bed, and this is what happens.
I appreciate that. I just ran up a huge hill 8 times, cardio for life.
Jesus, I don't know. I can't do that in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I did it either. All right.
Oh yeah, this is the camera setup that me and D-Rock were telling you about. So I don't know if you can tell any difference on your end.
Yeah, it looks good.
Cool. So yeah,
camera's better?
No, this camera.
my camera too, because there's good light today.
Yeah, probably. That's your camera?
This is the camera you're going to send to me?
Yeah.
I can't really tell a difference.
Okay. On your end. Well, maybe.
But hopefully mine is better. But it's lighting too. It's all that shit. Yeah. All right, let's get into it.
Gary, what's up, man?
Abel, it is so good to see you, bro.
Good to see you too, man. Wow, it's been a long time.
Wow. Literally, I moved in 7th grade, and then I saw you at the Hillsborough Fire Station baseball card comic show.
Yep.
Sophomore year or junior year of high school, so that's 92 or 93.
And that's when I came back. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because that's right. You told me, that triggered. You also moved, right?
Yeah, I moved to Florida with my family.
At the end of 7th grade, too?
Yep, right at the end of 7th grade, going into 8th.
So we both bounced John Adams Middle School?
Got out of John Adams right at the same time.
And then you came back and graduated J.P. Stevens?
No. I just came back to see family and then went to see you. So, yeah, that was cool, man. You sold me my first baseball card, Gary Carter. Way back in the day.
You know what's funny? Every time I stumble on anybody that I grew up with, literally the first thing they say is, "You sold me
a baseball card." Yeah, yeah. Well, it's true, man. It's true.
I hustled those hard back then.
Yeah, you did, man. You did. You hustled everything hard. Everything hard, man. You know, about you, that stuff's true. That's. I remember when you were a kid taking flowers and selling them to the people. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you sell them to the same garden, to the same people this garden you took it out of, or was it like neighbors?
Neighbors, but sometimes the same garden.
Still, man, that's crazy, yeah.
It's so good to see you, bro.
Good to see you too, man, good to see you too. Honestly, I don't even really have a question.
I just wanted to see you too.
Yeah.
What my favorite part of this, of us connecting, is how WrestleMania 6 or 5, we watched WrestleMania when Macho Man lost to Hogan.
Yep.
That was at your house. And
you were devastated.
Devastated. That was right around the time that I knew that it was scripted, so I knew what was going to play out, but I was still devastated.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But that was back when wrestling was good, man. It was, it was awesome. And I remember that was the first time my mom met you when you came over to my house. And literally, for like 2 minutes, she talked to you. She went out to find me and she's like, "Why can't you be more like your friend Gary?" And I don't even know the guy. He could be a horrible guy. And she's like, "Well, is he?" And I'm like, "That's not the damn point." You know what I mean? But that was funny, man. It was good times. I think some of the best friends you have are the ones when you're kids, because it's before all the bullshit. You know what I mean?
You know, it's crazy. When I think back, we really, really got close at Jod Adams. Like, that's when our friendship got much stronger in sixth and seventh grade. Like, were you there when I fought Oded Weinstock at Marcos Hill?
Oded Weinstock, yes, I was. You whooped his ass.
That was a big one. That was a big one for me. That's my highlight of middle school.
Oh, that was funny. Hey, man, do you remember Rashawn Courtney? Remember that?
Rashawn was my guy. Yeah. Like, in fourth grade, he was like the only other kid that was good at, like, great at dodgeball. Yeah. Rashawn was my guy.
I know, that was awesome. But I remember, like, me and Rashawn, we were kind of close, but not really. But before we were close, it was after school one day, and he wanted to fight me. Yeah, and you and him and Danny Vega, those were like the toughest kids in school. You know? So I remember it was after school, and, you know, the big circle formed, and I'm looking, honestly, I'm looking for you. I'm like, help, you know, but get I'm not going to back down.
Of course not. This was Jersey in the 80s. Nobody fucking backed down. There was fights. Remember the Williams twins who were younger but tougher than fucking everyone?
Oh my God. Yeah, those were the big kids, right?
Yes, Robbie and I'm trying to remember the other kid's name.
I don't remember the other one either. No, but this is funny because I remember the big circle formed, and then here you come out of nowhere. You know, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to get my ass whooped because I'm going to fight, but I don't want to fight, you know? So here you come.
Rashawn was tough.
And I remember you said, "What's going on here?" And Rajon's like, "I'm going to whoop his ass." And you said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I don't like him." And literally, I remember this happening. You looked right at him and you went, "Why?" And he looked at you like a cow with a new fence. Yeah. And he was like, "Well, all right." So he didn't whoop my ass. So I never got to thank you for that. But thanks, man. That was awesome. Do you remember playing our version of like soccer and hockey on the sidewalk with the
fucking rock?
Yeah. Well, with the rock, too.
A smashed Coke. And like we used to. You ready for this? This is a true story. I was so addicted to that soccer hockey game with the rock and the can after school that I would get home so late that, because I used to walk home, that my mom would get nervous because I would get home so late. So finally, this is a true story. One time my mom goes, "You have to be home after school today. Like, do not fuck around, no fucking hockey." So my mom, she's shaking her head in the background. She goes, I go, "Okay, mom, I promise." Sure enough, fucking after school, like I'm trying to leave, but the game's so good. I have to jump in. Everything's going to be just 1 minute, but 30 minutes later, game ends. Now I'm petrified because my mom is fucking old school Russian. She's going to whip my ass. This is not some American So I start running. And when I tell you running home, like full speed, so it's on a street and there's a shortcut. Do you remember Eric Godfrey? He was a year older than us. Do you know that name? You might not know him, but he was in my neighborhood. Yeah. You could run home and go to the street, but there was a shortcut that would get me faster. So I'm running home and I'm watching every car that's driving to John Adams, hoping my mom's car is not there because I knew she would come. Sure enough, just as I'm running down the hill and I look back to see the final cars that I could see before I can't see any more cars, I see my mom's Mercury Topaz fucking driving. And my fucking, like, it was over. Like, I knew it was over.
Yeah, flashed before your eyes. Yeah.
I will never forget that. We literally loved that game. So it was literally soccer / hockey on pavement with a rock or a crushed soda can.
Yeah, yeah. That was, it was crazy.
I remember that super well.
I know. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. So I got a new baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. 43 years old. She's going to have to wheel me to her graduation. But
nah, man. You'll be the best 61-year-old ever. Abel, it's so good to see you, brother. I love you. It's been so good to reconnect. Talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Good stuff. It's fun to have those. You know, what's fun is like some of those stories are fun because you forget some of the stuff. That Rashawn Courtney story, I completely remember now. And it was like, that's 1984 shit. I always believed in kindness, even back then. So anyway, let's keep it going. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Gary.
How are things?
Things are really good on the West Coast.
It's early. Thanks for getting up early.
Yeah, whatever it takes, of course. So 4 years in the making since I tweeted you and you tweeted back.
So for everybody who's watching right now, yesterday I think you tweeted, right?
Yeah, I just responded to the tweet.
Original tweet. 4 years ago, Sarah said something. I said, well, we should talk then. And literally yesterday she retweeted it and wrote over. It's like, can we book this? And I saw it. I'm like, yep, let's book it. And here we are.
What's so funny, Gary, is then your team messages me and says, just get ready with a question. And I thought, this is what's so funny, is that I've obviously known about that tweet for 4 years. And every time I've thought about messaging you in the past, it was because I wanted something. And I would do this thing where I'd be like, well, what's he gonna tell me? He's gonna tell me, start the YouTube channel. He's gonna tell me. So just do the thing. And then yesterday we were supposed to have our 10-year celebration at the organization at Wit. And I was sitting in my house, not feeling sorry for myself, but just like thinking like, damn, I was supposed to be at that party and I'm here and like, look what we've done during the pandemic for our kids. And I was like, you know, and we haven't been a victim during this time. We've been so resourceful. We've been like, just doing such a great job and like just on it. And I thought, I just gotta tell them thank you. So that's why I did it. So then when they messaged me, they're like, they have a question. I was like, it's like I thought of them, obviously. I've had time to think of it. But I was like, wait, that's not even why I did it this time.
So you know what's so powerful about that? Like the other times you've thought about it, it was from a place of need.
Yes.
Yesterday was from a place of giving. And literally the universe decided to serendipitously allow me to see it. And then it creates the moment. And I really mean this. Like that shit fucking freaks me out. Like when I hear that story, like, it really makes me believe. Like it just, there's just something so obvious. No different, I'm sure you're just watching with Abel, right? Like, yeah. Like Abel still feels the impact of a third grade fight that I stopped out of kindness. Like good brings on more good and bad brings on more bad. And I believe in that shit. And I feel a huge sense of responsibility as a good communicator that people are associated with and attracted to and drawn to put out as much good as possible. And when I hear that story from you just now, it fucking reinforces what I believe.
I mean, it's 8 minutes later. And then the funny thing was the tweets rolling in like, oh, she's been like holding that. Like she's, I'm like, it's not like that.
By the way, it happens all the time. I mean, there's people, I feel horrible because sometimes I see it, but I'm not in that mindset. Like, you know, attempt number 494 to get Gary V to follow me or say hi. Like, you know, it's hard. I'm out here operating and navigating and trying my best. And, you know, 5,000 texts a day, 10,000 DMs a day, yeah. Thousands of tweets. Like it's, you'll never beat the math, but my intent is there. And like you make lemonade out of these lemons. Like this whole pandemic has let me connect with the community at a level. Tea with Gary V is a connection point that is greater than Ask Gary V, is greater than anything I've done, I think, really. Honestly, it's got a different level of depth and calmness and speed that I think has really connected and helped both me and everybody who's watching it.
Well, I'm grateful. And I was thinking last night about how I started this nonprofit in 2008. I had been laid off. And when this whole thing hit 75 days ago, that's, you know, because I remember when I was in New York and I flew back to California. And you were talking about this in one of your shows recently. It's like, I didn't get nervous. It's like, I've 2008, like I've built this
entire thing
having like no noise. And my brother, an entrepreneur in his own right in real estate, he introduced me to you 10 years ago. And sometimes we'll be hanging out and I'll be like, wah, wah, and he's like, don't be a victim. I'm like, fair.
Right.
But that's the love that
the big thing for everybody who likes to complain and dwell and be a victim, they need to realize that nobody cares because they're worried about their own problems.
Yeah.
And the only people that are caring and coddling you are the people that extremely love you and enable it,
mm-hmm.
or other people that are fucking losing. Like complaining and dwelling is a bad formula because it creates two bad relationships. It creates a relationship with another losing player and you're just negative on negative and you're just literally hanging out in your fucking sorrow bubble. Mm-hmm. Or it's putting somebody that loves you so much in a precarious spot where they're enabling you, which eventually leads to resentment by both parties.
Yeah.
Complaining and dwelling is bad. It really hurts relationships.
And people that love you don't want you to sit in that. And it's interesting because I don't know if you know what I do, but I mean, I help teens become entrepreneurs. We start the teens tween. And you'll be happy to know that our teens run our social media because there is no excuse for not having it. But I personally do not feel like TikTok is like my jam.
It is so your jam.
Well, I mean, I'm saying like the kids.
They intuitively know it. But in 4 hours, it could be your jam.
Yes, and they'll teach me. The fun thing is to be in situations where I can go to our kids, our teens, our tweens.
But let me take this moment up, Sarah. Let me take this moment because I'm gonna help a lot of people. Let me tell you how to get taught on TikTok, Snapchat, LinkedIn, or the next three things that happen in the next decade. You go immediately and you consume content on the platform for 10 hours.
Okay.
And then you make 10 pieces of content. 10 hours, 10 pieces of content is how you learn every platform. Go in, download it, read. Don't judge them, don't say it's stupid. 10 hours of consuming, 10 pieces of content, giving it your best, and then reassess. 10 hours, 10 pieces of content is how every single person can learn a new social network.
Well, you should check it out because they were shouting you out yesterday.
I will check it out. It is such a pleasure. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, thanks, sir. And everybody, I want to thank you, Gary. You gave a tip in a video recently about just reaching out to people in the DMs on Instagram. And we're doing a virtual entrepreneurship summer camp. And I've reached out to celebrity entrepreneurs in every space. And we've had some great yeses that would probably not be chilling at their house right now.
Can't get a yes if you don't ask.
Yeah. So thank you, awesome. Gary.
Take care. Bye-bye. Dustin, what are the updated numbers? I want to start creating a competition. I want to get Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch to start sharing their URLs to their community to get to the highest number. We might have to do like a pizza party for the best class.
Pizza party would be cool.
So where are we at?
YouTube is 3,000. Mm-hmm. Facebook is 2,800.
Yep.
It's close. Twitch looks like it's 330.
Yep.
And Twitter looks about 330 or 20-ish also.
Twitter and Twitch have some work to do. Love it. Yeah. Okay. Let's keep it going. Katie.
Wow. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, but your beautiful setting is inspiring.
It's the best place to be.
Good for you. It's really nice to see you.
You too. I'm so excited. I've been playing What Would Gary Say all week. So all of my questions I've filtered through what your response would be, and I've made a bunch of changes this week.
Did you feel any impact of any of those changes yet? Absolutely. I mean, it's early. You have.
Yeah.
Give me one example.
So we have a farm market, and we do home delivery throughout the capital region, upstate New York.
Nice.
And obviously, all food delivery has skyrocketed in the last few weeks.
Yes.
And, it was just growing so exponentially that, we just took, it was scattered. So we were just doing whatever.
Of course. Yeah. When chaos hits, I mean, it's happening at WineText right now, Katie. We hired nine. The Springfield, New Jersey pool shut down for the summer, so we hired all nine lifeguards. Inevitably, some of those kids are going to ship the wrong bottle of wine. It's just, when it gets to chaos, the big key, Katie, is to not beat yourself up if somebody gets corn instead of apples. You could always fix anything by saying you're sorry and addressing it.
Yeah.
And I think too many people worry about perfection or like if we deliver the wrong thing, it gets put on Facebook and everybody gets mad. I'm sorry and meaning it is the greatest anecdote to anxiety around making a mistake in business and in life.
Yeah. And I try to be super transparent. I'm like, listen, we went from just me. I had knee surgery on February 11th. And then, 3 days later, I was delivering things. I couldn't even put a shoe on yet. So that was cool. I was like, all right, well, people need food, so we're going to get food out.
I'm impressed.
And then we just, I'm like 30X what I was January, February.
Have you hired?
Yes, that's my challenge. People don't like to show up to work.
I know.
Sometimes.
That a lot of times. We hired four people last week and only one showed up. And we like, and Brandon, who my best friend, who has great EQ, hires well and like really like communicated well. Like, I think what it comes down to is not dwelling on that, recognizing that's going to be part of the game, learning and hiring a couple more people than you need, just in case they don't show up in first day or quit after day one. Both happen, yeah. No show and quit after day one. But the reality is you just keep pushing. I think Facebook, Craigslist, LinkedIn are all good places to get, you know, individuals. I think emailing all your customers and saying we're hiring, some of those people want to get their teenage kids out of the house. So I think there's some hacks there.
Yeah, and I've done a little bit of outsourcing too, so that I don't have to do everything in-house.
Good job.
And I simplified things because I was like, you know, it ends up I'm pretty much the primary delivery person. And we're doing like a big range. And I love driving. That's fine. That's no big deal. But I love, you know, the marketing end. Like that's my jam. That's where I am. You know, content and marketing and business development and customer relations. And, you know, we do handwritten thank you cards and the orders. Like that's my thing. That's,
what part of New York are you? I want to make sure anybody who's got friends and relatives in the area.
We are near Saratoga Springs.
Saratoga Springs?
Yes.
And what's your, where do you deliver through? What areas?
Albany County, Saratoga County, Schenectady County, Rensselaer County, Washington County.
I love it. Big shout out to my homie, Joe Minakawa, Tokyo Joe, as we called him in college, from Schenectady, New York. I miss you a lot, Joe, if you're watching.
Deliver there Mondays and Thursdays.
Love it. So do you have a specific question maybe I can help with?
What is the best way to scale? I don't need to scale huge. I just need to scale, you know, I'm at like 15, 20 deliveries. I can, with our current infrastructure, I can probably hit like 50. And I don't know.
So you don't have demand for 50 yet?
Oh, I do. I just can't. I don't.
Infrastructure meaning the amount of food you make. You just, it's the delivery
food,
part.
Cooler space, yep. Like that type
of thing. So you mean the delivery infrastructure is not up to the level of being able to do 50?
Mostly the people and the supply chain and that stuff.
Is it a hiring thing?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you can't be disappointed when you hire two people and spend 2 weeks on it and they don't show up. Yeah. And so right now, during this time especially, you need to hire anybody who's willing to say yes.
Yep.
And you need to take risks.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky might drive away with the food and eat at his house. That might happen. And then he'll call Susan.
Or they put it on the wrong porch.
Or they put it on the wrong porch. Like, you're going to have, I think it's okay to go there. Okay. I think, because here's what people don't understand. But they don't eat it. But they don't put it on the wrong porch. 90% of the time, it's okay. Yeah. And people think the 10% is the 100%. Mm-hmm. They fear.
Yeah.
And I don't. I'd rather say I'm sorry. And I believe in people. And I believe in the good. And I believe it's going to be okay. And I'm optimistic. Optimism is practical. It helps grow. Yeah. And so you just can't be scared. Start with friends and family. You know, I would literally go into your phone from A to Z tonight, coffee, tea, wine, however you roll, A to Z from 6 p.m. to midnight and text every person and say, hey, do you know anybody who wants to work? Because I need 4 to 5. Like, I mean all of them. I mean all of them.
That's where I started. And then
no.
Didn't show up.
All so of
that
them.
Cool.
Okay. That happens. Yeah. But I don't think you hit up your closest friends. You didn't hit up somebody that you met 6 years ago and have their phone in your number in your address book.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Good luck. It's just
Thank
hiring.
Thank you so much.
Don't fear the no-show, Katie. Don't fear the wrong delivery. And I guarantee it will work out.
Awesome.
I mean
Thank
it.
You so
I'm
much.
Positive. You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
People really fear hiring. I've seen this happen so much. Like I've made an ungodly amount of bad hires because I don't fear it. You can always fire that person. You can always say sorry. You can always lose one customer. But if you don't hire them, you're stuck at 15 and not 50. Simple. Let's keep moving it.
Gary V, what's going on, man?
What's good, Andrew?
How you doing? This is awesome. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Really appreciate it. So I got to give you a little bit of a backstory just so you can kind of
get context
on everything. So 5 years ago, I started a social media marketing agency. Was super tough at first, made it happen, sold it within 2 years, and then transferred over to e-commerce. Throughout this whole time, I've always wanted to really do mentorship type stuff, speak. Because of you, actually, I was always afraid of like creating content, putting myself out there. for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I listened to you finally a month ago. And honestly, I think I found my calling. Like, this is awesome. I love every second of it. And I don't, it's really cool. Within
Andrew, knowing that you did a social media shop and e-commerce and want to be an entrepreneurial personal brand, the only vulnerability the guy like you has in the cliche scenario is don't fake the funk.
Well, you already answered my question then. But
I knew where you were going based on your setup.
Yeah.
It's just you will win if you don't bullshit. And too many guys like you bullshit because they can't wait to get to the fucking stage part and the verified part and the fame part. And that's awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure you really talk about the truth of how good or not good your social media agency was, how good or not good you were at e-commerce. Because I see it every day. People can't wait to get to the kind of fame part. And so they kind of embellish or over-exaggerate how good of an entrepreneur they were. And it fucking always, always, always bites them in the ass in the end.
That makes sense. Well, let me ask you this. So my main concern, and you're on the right track 100%, obviously. But my main concern is when I was younger, from 18 to like 23, 24, I had a heroin addiction. So I beat it, or I'm still working at it every day. I've been sober. Yeah, I've been sober ever since. And
it's powerful.
The response I'm getting is cool, but I haven't gone public with it. And I don't know.
Well, you just did.
Yeah, I know. I sent in my question. I was like, by this, if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it like this.
Andrew, right? I'm so proud of you, bro.
Thank you.
You know how hard that is to achieve that double?
Oh, that's part of the whole thing. I remember in the thick of it, I would be like, I remember a specific time where I was sitting on my couch when it was all happening. I thought I was never going to get out of it. I thought I was going to be like 75 years old and I was just going to be an addict, you know, or be in that space. And I feel like I could help a lot of people.
You can.
But I'm also afraid that it'll hurt my credibility.
No, it will double up your credibility.
Really?
Yeah. It will double up your credibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt like it was a negative connotation.
Look, it's not. It for whoever it's a negative comment, you know, whoever thinks it's a negative is somebody you don't want in your community. It's somebody who doesn't understand it's a disease and is casting judgment without fucking any knowledge of how the actual game is played.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah, that's like, awesome. Thank
like,
you.
Like, honestly, as a matter of fact, for example, in that story, in your truth, is exactly the reason why somebody would be more connected to you than connected to me. Because they're going through an alcohol addiction or opiate addiction. You know what I mean? And I can't give them that, but you can.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, that's why so many people aren't getting any traction. They're just talking vanilla. They're watching my shit and regurgitating it.
Absolutely. It's not their truth. E-commerce right now. 100%. 100%. Absolutely.
It's your biggest strength, bro. It's the biggest thing you got. Not to mention, I believe, and this is coming out of pure love out of my heart for you specifically, I also think that it's, if you make it a pillar you stand on, that it gives you a better chance to fight it off for the rest of your life. Because what people don't know, and what you do know, is this is a forever game. And a lot of people win that forever game. It seems daunting in their 20s. You know, I met a lot of people who've had real addiction issues in their 40s. And the thing they keep telling me is that in your 20s, and 30s, after you've gotten through it, you know, and you've been in it and you're in year one or two and three, then it starts and you're happy, but then you're just like, fuck, I got to fight this for 60 more years. And it sometimes feels daunting.
Yeah.
And kind of getting out of the shadows and letting everybody know about it has actually given them energy to then go that 20 years instead of relapsing 2 years later.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. That's awesome, man.
Brother, it is your strength.
Yeah.
Like if you, like, no, ready for this, bro? In 2009, people literally told me, and people told me to my face and told my agents that they would not book me to speak because I cursed.
Mm.
But I just stuck to my truth. Well, there, you know, do I think the, you know, DARE, you know, do I think like the most conservative, like, actually DARE, what, but like, do I think the most conservative company won't hire you because of that? Sure. If they've demonized drugs and some sort of, you know, But do I think three other companies will? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it as a stigma when it's your strength. Most people think their stigma, most people feel a stigma. I was raped. I had an opium addiction. I went to jail. I theft, cyber, like, you know, security breaches that put me in like probation. Like, most people think that their stigma, especially when it's not, you know, as long as you don't murder someone, rape someone, as long as it doesn't get into the top 5 to 7 things in culture,
you can't come back from it.
That's right. Our society is wildly forgiving, and it's actually your strength, but most people think it's their demon, and it's not. It's their strength.
You know, that makes sense, and it makes perfect sense.
Some kid that we hired said to me, Gary, I just feel like I can say this to you. He worked for us for a little while. He's like, I went to jail, but you guys don't know about it. And I was like, so?
Yeah.
And then I was like, for what? And then he told me it was not that bad. I was like, good, okay. So, yeah. You know, like.
No, that makes perfect sense. Just lean into it. And I honestly, I thought of that too. I just didn't know if the positives would outweigh the negatives. And I remember there were times where I feel like still to this day, if I watched a video of somebody like me now, back then, I probably would have gotten sober a couple of years earlier, or it would have helped me in one way or another. You know, I just,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Bro, shadows are heavy.
Yeah.
Shadows, secrets slow you down. But do you understand that? Forget about, of course, the positives are going to outweigh the negatives. You're not going to have to think.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you going to do when you're on? What were you doing when you were thinking about this and laying there and saying, okay, one day I'm going to be like Gary Vee and I'm going to be on stage. I'm doing Q&A. And somebody's like, yo, dude, didn't you have a heroin addiction? Like, my brother knows you. Like, what were you going to do? What were you going to do in that moment? You can't have that moment.
No, absolutely.
You would have sabotaged your own upside because you would have feared the exposing moment. People need to put out their stigmas to the world because their secret is sabotaging their upside because they have to overthink every move because they haven't exposed their stigma.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good that I do it now before it ever gets to any point like that.
And even then, you should be like, and fuck you.
Yeah.
Bro, everybody's got shit.
Yeah.
And you're a hero to break through it, not the other way around.
Shit, man.
It's a disease, bro. You're not bad. This isn't 1984 anymore.
Yeah.
Nancy Reagan isn't out here shaming us. Come on. Let's get our shit together, man. This is a disease. I'm proud of you. You fucking accomplished more in breaking that habit than 90% of people will do in their life. I believe that to be true, Andrew.
Dude, I really appreciate that. That's super awesome, man. I really do. Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, man.
You got it.
This is tough, so I really, this is awesome. Honestly, thank you.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon. Let's keep it moving. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's up?
What's up with you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm super excited to be here. I think, am I like super, whoa, yeah. Wait, is that better? Do I look okay?
They both look great, Kendall. Don't worry. Go.
All right. I got a light and everything. I'm like feeling really professional right now.
I don't. Anyway. I look like everyone's like, get a light. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. So.
Yeah. And that's what I thought when I put the light on. I was like, Kevin doesn't fucking care. Like, that's literally what I thought. But I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. They've been trying to get me on this week. But you know what's crazy is like this whole week, I have been waking up thinking I'm going to be on I get up at like 5 a.m. because I'm in California, and it's really changed because then Tuesday and Thursday I did the same thing, and I was like, dude, I'm fucking down for this. I'm ready. So I changed the schedule.
So you got it. So you're in Cali. Obviously I only get to so many. They have to prep for how many I get to. So you started Monday. Like you thought you might be on Monday if we got to it. So Monday. And so you had to get up super early. And then because you did it all week, you were waking up what time before? Like 9 a.m., 8 a.m., like that kind of
thing? Yeah, I was like staying up till 2, waking up at 9.
And now you're on this. So are you going to sleep a little bit earlier?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep a little bit earlier.
And do you like this vibe better?
Dude, I love it. I love it. I'm a professional athlete, so I've been waking up super early my entire life. But now with like coronavirus, how things have like kind of changed. I was just telling my mom earlier, like the difference between going to sleep at 2 and waking up at like 9 or 10 and doing the opposite where I wake up at 6 and, you know, whatever, like the hours are the same, but what I get done from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is so different from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. So it's been fucking awesome. So thank you guys just for that.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny is I've always had, one of the biggest reasons I always knew I could never live in LA is because the world navigates around New York. That's just the truth. Yeah. And like the thought of waking up at like 8 a.m., but it's 11 a.m. in New York and the world's been moving gives me anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like even when I'm on the West Coast on business, I wake up at like 6 because, and even that's like, like it's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I feel it. Anyway, so I'm super excited to be here. And I just, to preface my question, do you know what jiu-jitsu is, Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
I do.
Okay, I thought so.
Big shout out to Lou Levy, one of my good buddies who's super about it. Go ahead.
Awesome, cool. So I'm a black belt. I'm a 7-time world champion. I've been training since I was a little kid. My main question is because I, like you and everybody else in the world, have a lot of spinning plates. So I'm a professional athlete. My parents own a bunch of, or 3 jiu-jitsu academies that I work at full time. And kind of like you, I work with the wine or the liquor store. I work at them full time. My salary stays the same, but my goal is to grow the business and then reinvest the profits. And it's been growing like crazy the last few years when I got back from one year of attempted college. so it's been great. And also I was an international wrestler for Team USA. And now, I was really touched by, was it Andrew that was just on? I was super touched by him because I'm about to hit my 4-year anniversary of being recovered from bulimia, which has been a huge, interesting thing in combat sports with making weight. And that's a whole nother topic. And then also I'm super fucking passionate about real estate and I have all this stuff going on, right? So I have like a small following on Instagram, like around 18 or 19,000, most of it fans of my sport. TikTok, I have like 1,000. It's super small. And my question
is, how many times have you posted on TikTok?
So good question. I posted about 20 times and only in the last week have I really gone up to like 2-3 times a day. And I'm trying to stay consistent because the only TikTok I've ever had go viral is of my dog. And my dog's super fucking cute, but has nothing to do with me. So,
But you know what?
Yeah.
People, this is something that people get confused on. I think you milk the, what's the dog's name?
Bella.
I think you milk Bella for like a couple months and then you slide in the jiu-jitsu stuff. I mean that. Like, look, I really believe in that. Like, I think people are like, oh, but Gary says don't post, like, don't just do it for the likes. On the flip side, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff you can do with Bella, and Bella's part of your life. Bulimia's part of your life. Jiu-jitsu's part of your life. Real estate's part of your life. I think you can mix it all. Too many people try to make their content too narrow.
Okay. So with the content, and I'm kind of like you're saying, I'm doing like body positivity stuff. I'm doing jiu-jitsu stuff. I'm just kind of like my boyfriend's super nerdy and obsessed with Star Wars. So I'm starting to like put that in there. I convinced him to start going on TikTok and he's like the least social media person ever. I was like, there's a place for you. Gary Vee said, there's a place for you. So that's another thing. But
and by the way, you two as a combo is a fucking viral hit. Like the nerdy Star Wars dude with the black belt fucking badass chick. Like
he's a black belt too.
Oh fuck, okay. Good thing I didn't call him nerdy Star Wars dude to his face. Go ahead.
But okay, cool. So I got the con, I'm gonna keep doing that. And that's actually, I put a video of him on my TikTok for the first time yesterday of us doing a self-defense thing, so I'm pumped about that.
Love.
So my question is for jiu-jitsu and wrestling, because our sport is hard as fuck, but it does not make a lot of money. There's no NBA, there's no MLB. There are some sponsors, like for me, like the fights are weird. Like in a few weeks, I have a fight where I have like 2,000 to win, 2,000 to show, or 2,000 to show, 2,000 to win. Then I have something that I pay to fly there and like there's no payment. Then I have something that's 500. So it's super all over the place. And I have some sponsors, but it's not that much. It's like barely, I make way more from like working at the school.
Yep.
So what is your, I really want to see if there's a way, like I fuck with Ashley Graham. She's like amazing. I want to see if there's a way that I can get into that world, bringing more eyes.
I can save you time.
Yes.
The answer is yes. Your charisma and energy is so strong. You like have it.
Okay.
You just need to go completely apeshit, obsessive, which you're capable of, you know, given what you've achieved in your life, on being a content machine.
Okay.
You're exactly the kind of girl that needs to be putting out 25 to 40 pieces of content a day.
Okay. I started tweeting people.
You need to, exactly. You go to Twitter and you search every jiu-jitsu terminology and the term, and you reply to everybody. One more time for the kids in the back who don't know how Gary V was created in 2006. From 2006 to 2011, for 5 years, I replied to every single person that tweeted at me. And I, at first, when nobody knew who I was, I jumped into every word that was mentioned on Twitter about wine and joined the conversation. And I put out a daily wine video every single day.
Okay.
Kendall, you have so much charisma and like great energy and cute and interesting and have belief. Like, you have everything going for you.
Okay. So just more content. I
like even the way you talk, I fuck with, hey, like you've got it.
Okay. Yay. I'm excited to hear that. I got Instagram going. I got Twitter. I got TikTok. I have like 50 followers on Twitter. So I'm writing everyone that has jiu-jitsu in their thing. Because I don't give a fuck.
Is this your handle across the board?
It is. It's so Kendall Rusing is obviously my name. My last name is it's Rusing, but it looks like reusing. I wanted to make everything Kendall Marie, so it's easy.
No, Kendall. Kendall, no? This is back to Andrew. Like people think that like you're seeing it as like, oh no, it's reusing. Kendall reusing is the fucking funniest. That's exactly right. Okay. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, like, you know, do you know how bad a user handle named Gary V with two silent E's are? Yo, you got to check out Gary V. They go in Gary V, and they're like, "Where is this fucker?" In the beginning, it was like, it's just like it. You will make a name. A name will be made. You understand?
Okay. So Kendall, reusing is fine.
I would even if I were you, I'd be like, "And this is Kendall reusing." Just kidding. Like it's a thing.
I see.
Like a secondhand shop. Like your biggest sponsor could be Goodwill because people reuse. I'm telling you,
that would be dope.
It's the same way as like a scar. Like everybody thinks their scarlet letter is their shortcoming. It's their strength.
Okay. I see. I'm down with it. I'm down. So everything is every. Well, people will learn to spell it. It's not like. Whatever.
What do you mean learn to spell it? Everybody knows how to re-spell reusing. Like everybody, like I wouldn't know, what's your last name again? I apologize.
It's Rusing.
Right, I wouldn't know how to spell Rusing. I'd be like R-O-O-S-I-N. Like but reuse, like no, reusing is your strength.
Okay. And last thing, how much content do you consume to stay on trend but not to get sucked into the black hole? Because TikTok is a black hole sometimes for me.
When you're consuming it for strategy, unlimited. When you're consuming it for escapism because you're bored, or you're using it for, you know, leisure because you're not happy with what you're doing, zero. Uh-huh. I consume zero social media for entertainment. I use this for entertainment, and then that's about it. I use it for strategy and learnings. Like the black hole is when you're using it because you're not fired up about what you're doing in your life.
Right.
Or you just need a break. I don't want to demonize an hour of just going in the feed. Do you? But like it's very simple. It comes completely down to, are you doing this because you're actually studying? Like I'm in feed studying.
Right. Okay.
Like I'm not like, oh, that's funny. I'm like, why did you do that? What's that hashtag? How many seconds was that? When it like, dude, read the comments. Why do they love Megan Sally? You know what?
Yeah. Okay. And then, last thing, and I'm going to get you to the next person because I'm now that person that's cutting people off that are in line.
I love it.
Ashley Graham, like just that whole world. There's some other people that I follow as well. How do I, other than I know I'm creating content. How do I burst into that world coming from an athlete in a sport that's not mainstream?
Patience.
Okay.
One single picture where when you're looking your honest, your true self, but your copy is powerful, clicks the attention of one person and you're on the Today Show.
Okay. I see. Just keep doing that and get in front of as many eyes.
It's fucking reps. How do I become a black belt?
Reps. Yes. By coming in class every day, whether you feel like it or not.
Got it?
Okay,
I think we had somebody else during this 2 months who was black belt. I said, how'd you get
there? A karate guy.
Right. Kendall, right? How'd you do it? Like, that's why I'm a black belt in what I do. Like, right. You've got to put in the fucking work.
Okay.
It's the work. Okay. And that's why I work so much on mindset. Just like in your world, it's fucking mindset. If you're insecure of how you look or what people are going to say or that you only have 13 followers but your buddy has 400 or whatever fuck it is, when you said I have a small audience on Instagram and throughout some sort of 19th, whatever number you threw out, everybody gasped because they have 310.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like comparing, it's like I get into this whole thing where like,
right there.
Where I don't want to give a fuck.
Comparing. That if I could fucking take that word and beat the living fucking shit out of it, if I could take comparing and fucking choke hold the fuck out of it, like you know how?
Yeah.
That fucking word, I fucking hate that word. Mm. And I don't, people follow me, I don't use hate often.
Yeah.
I hate that word. You went right to where I wanted you to. Right there. Comparing. That. I fucking hate that word.
Me too, but it's hard.
but I'm telling you, you have to fucking fight. Everything's hard.
Yeah.
And like that, my ability to not compare is a core foundational strength. I not only do I not compare, when I see other businessmen and women do things that I haven't accomplished yet, I applaud if they've done it the right way.
Right. I think it's so fucking awesome to watch people accomplish things. I just wonder if because I'm not getting the same response in my content.
Hold on one second. Hold on. Dustin, throw up Whitaker is my dad's comment. I want to address this because it's super fun for me. Like, it's a super fun comment for me. I'm sorry, Kendall. I just want to jump in.
No, you're fine.
Because it's one of my favorite subject matters. Dustin, I don't know if you see it. Whitaker is my dad. Yellow emoji on Twitch. Like, it's one of my favorite comments about my energy that I think a lot about. Dustin, you sleeping or you can't find it?
I'm trying to find it.
It's in between Barry Eisenbaum and Ramon Izian, David Abreu's near there, Judith Celis. It was at 9:45 p.m. Whitaker is my dad. Kendall, you got this. Like compare. You know?
So I compare it like when I applaud people for doing what I haven't done yet, and I think it's fucking awesome, and that's amazing. But I worry that because I'm not getting the same response on my content, that means I'm not doing what it needs to take to get to that level, if that makes sense.
That's super smart. The problem is you haven't done enough shit.
Okay.
It's the same reason people are mad that they don't have an orange belt and they want to give up.
Right.
You're literally doing the thing you understand the best.
Okay. Just do more. More and more and more.
You don't have context yet.
Okay.
You haven't been doing it long enough.
Okay.
Got it?
I got you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Whitaker's my dad. What's super interesting is how many people think that who confuse optimism and happiness and you know, just genuine gratitude with performance enhancement drugs. Like if I took an Advil, I go to sleep. Because of how little medicine and drugs, like my family, like the demonization in the Eastern European family, and especially by mom who was super affected by Nancy Reagan, no drugs, no alcohol. Like, it's so fun to me that is, like, I'm always wondering, like, who writes that comment? What do they do Adderall? Like, are they so low? They must be so not optimistic that they couldn't imagine being happy, which drives the energy. Makes me really compassionate and empathetic. Whitaker, if you want to be on the show, let Dustin know. I really think about this shit when people write it because I'm pumped. I don't know. Anyway, let's keep going. It's so obvious to me that happiness has the most energy. Like, there is no artificial drug that beats gratitude. It just doesn't exist. All right, let's keep it going. How was that drink, bro?
That's good. Some water, you know what I'm saying? Hydrated.
Nah, but it's so good to see you, bro. I'm so proud of you. I've been so enjoying you navigate. You know, I've been on you for a minute, just cheering you along from the sidelines, bro. You're doing it out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
You are, man. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man.
What's been good?
Nothing. I just dropped a project.
I know.
Good Intentions is doing really well. You know, I put all my, you know, energy, my whole being into this, like, every day. Thinking about it all day, thinking about getting better. Like, I drove myself nuts just always being like, oh, in the studio, I'm not getting better. And that just drove me to just keep getting better. And I'm just here now. And I'm just like, shit, like the whole last year and like a quarter has just been worth it. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It's like running through the finish line in a marathon.
Bro, you haven't even started. You have too much talent in your body. Bro, you haven't even started. I don't give a fuck how great this project goes, bro. You haven't even fucking started.
Yeah.
You're a fucking youngster. Yeah. You've got stories and soul. Facts. You really have it, bro.
Yeah, facts. Appreciate
you know, back to what I was saying earlier to Kendall, like I watch, you know I watch. Boyd puts me onto so much stuff. I watch myself and like, that. You know, like I just know where you're at.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anything on your mind? Anything I can help you with? What's your TikTok? What's your TikTok strategy for this project? Because, bro, I'm telling you, to be in music and not have a crazy TikTok strategy for everything you do, it's a huge fucking mistake. And I'm feeling your energy, and I'm really glad you came on the show because I need a much bigger fucking strategy, bro.
Well, that was leading to my question for you. I have prepared is during this time where we can't do like, you know, shows and promo and stuff like that, like going and doing pop-ups or whatever, like what would be your strategy to promote your album during this time?
Lives, content. But I'm telling you, even if the whole world was wide open, the number one piece of advice I would tell an artist is to win TikTok.
TikTok, okay.
TikTok, bro. I would DM all 100, 500 top TikTok stars and be like, yo, here's my project. Tell me if you fuck with it. And if you want to do a little collab piece of content, let's go. And one of those little fuckers makes a dance and it's fucking over.
Smart. You know what's sad to say? I don't even have a TikTok account.
Now, what the fuck, bro?
I know, it's bad, I know.
No, it's super bad.
Yeah.
Like unacceptable.
Yeah.
Bro, it's unacceptable. You just said to me, like, I don't breathe oxygen.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm so, that. You know why I'm so excited right now? Because I've been waiting for my name drop in one of your fucking songs anyway. So now, I'm thinking like, oh, he's gonna say, Gary Vee put me on that talk. Then I went to the block. Like, I'm already trying to think about what the fuck you're gonna say.
I'm giving you credit.
listen to me. You need to go hard on it. Yo, hit up the crew. Let's get on a Zoom this weekend, or let's get on Zoom Monday because I'm gonna kind of try to defrag this weekend. But like, I will help you. I really, really, really think you have to understand the culture and the youngsters love you. You go in there and really do it right, you're on the verge, bro. You're on the verge of some crazy ass shit. And you know how much time I spent with Gunna and Keed and like DaBaby. Like, I'm telling you, listen to me.
Yeah.
You have to go, you need to download it. I just said it earlier. You need to download it, 10 hours of consuming it. Just watch it, fucking what's going on there. And then 10 pieces of content. Bro, you're this close. You get one thing lit off on TikTok right now during this project, and you go to a completely different level. Completely different level, bro.
Shit, I gotta adjust to the times, man.
You have to, right? Remember when you were coming up and the fucking winners and old cats didn't understand SoundCloud, didn't understand the gram.
Facts.
You're too young to be old.
100%. I like that. I'm definitely gonna pursue that TikTok thing, man.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hit you up like Sunday night and be like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I need to see progress.
Less.
Bet.
All right,
I love
see
you.
Less.
Talk to you.
My boy, appreciate it, man.
That's a superstar. You'll see. Mom, that man right there might be playing in Xander's bar mitzvah. Because he's going to beg for it. Hey, Sydney.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. I'm coming at you from Barrie, Ontario, Canada. First off, I just obviously want to thank you for having me on the show. And I'd like to commend Kendall and Andrew for talking about their struggles, because I know how hard that can be. And especially on a platform like this, it can be like really intimidating.
Very daunting.
So I have a two-part question for you, and then just a bit of context first. So I'm 22 years old. I am a month away from graduating at Western University for kinesiology, which is, it's like the movement of the body. Like what it undergoes during exercise and everything. So when I was first starting high school, I was really athletic growing up, I actually developed an eating disorder, and it was with me for 7 years.
Sorry to hear that.
That's okay, thank you. I'm actually 2 weeks away from being discharged from my recovery program.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So the issue with this is when I was in like the peak of my eating disorder, I jumped with the opportunity to take kinesiology because it was so focused towards the body and I was all wrapped up in fitness and everything. And now that my mind is clearer and I know I should not be tormenting my body in that way, I don't think this is a career for me. So
great news, Sid. You're young as fuck.
I know.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you understand how big of a win this is for you? Do you know how many people work for 30 years in something they hate and then like retire and then just like mope through life? This is a huge, this is like the best.
Mm-hmm. I know, and it's frustrating because
it shouldn't be.
It's frustrating time, and now
you're gonna love other things.
Yeah.
What are you gonna just love that?
No.
You're fucking 22. You're gonna love everything.
Yeah. So I was just gonna ask you, do you have any insight as to what my next steps could look like?
Possibly? Yeah. Okay. You need to literally explore every random thought in your mind around cooking and skiing and making bread and being a wine expert and being a video game expert and hair and like your next step needs to be exploring just like everyone's next step should be.
Right.
Like literally anything that grabs your curiosity. You need to watch YouTube videos, you need to try, you need to order a kit, you need to find a friend, you need to talk to people on Twitter about it, you need to join a Facebook group about it, you need to follow 10 people about it. Like, you need to go explore.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, I do that too. It's funny, my parents make fun of me for it, but I know you've said it like all
along. It's your strength.
But you say like you're allowed to change your mind. And my problem is like, once I find something, I'm like in love with it. And then it just kind of like,
you're not in love with it. You're in crush with it. And then you figure out that you're not in love with it.
I watched that.
But when you find what you're in love with, that crush will go to love.
Right.
You're not in love with it. Mm-hmm. You're in crush with it. You have a crush on it.
Yeah.
Ooh, baking, I crush you. But then 3 weeks later, you're like, fuck this powder. You know, this, I don't like this flower shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to wait for the pumpkin pie to come out. Next. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, skiing, you're cute. Oh, I don't like tearing my meniscus. Like, next, like you're in crush with it.
Right.
That's good.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
I knew you're just so smart. Like, I knew you were going to, like, bring me down and help me out. So
let me keep building here and give you a little more.
Mm-hmm.
You're 22. You don't need to figure out what you're going to do with your life ever, let alone in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You need to focus on being happy.
Right, and that's like, it's funny, that's actually a good segue into my like second part of my question. So it's crazy, like eating disorders, and like I'm sure Kendall probably knows what I'm talking about when I say this, like it's just like this cloud that comes over your brain and like you block out the world. Like I had tunnel vision. Like all I did in high school was go to school, then I'd have like football practice, I'd come home, I'd work out, and then I'd do homework and go to bed, and I only let myself eat a certain amount of calories, and so obviously that's gonna have an effect on your brain. And I missed out on so much of my life, like my teenage years, and I can't get them back. And
me too. Guess who else missed out on them? And? Let's focus on your next 100 years and not dwell on your last six.
Exactly. So with that, when I was stuck in the eating disorder, obviously, like I said, I didn't really know differently. Like I thought that's what I wanted and everything. So now that I'm recovering and I see that there's so much outside of this, I don't want anyone else to go through what I did because it's
so put up. So keep doing what you're doing right now.
So how do I actually change their perspective and make an impact on them by telling my story?
By telling your story. Let me ask you a question, Sid.
Okay.
If I told you when you were 99 and we were and you came to heaven, I was like, yo, Sid, remember Tea with Gary Vee? Yeah. You're like, hey, Gary, how you been? I'm like, good. I would say, hey, remember when we talked in 2020 and you asked that question, I said, just make, and you made a bunch of Instagrams and TikToks and YouTubes, but then after 6 months, you stopped because it wasn't getting traction and you went on and thank God, it was so great. You listened to me and you became the greatest skiing instructor of all time. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I don't know if you know this, but this is what's cool about heaven. Let me show you the woman who you impacted. She was one girl in, you know, in Peru, in Winnipeg, in the south side of Chicago, who did watch, you know, your 87 views on this one YouTube video in 2021, 87 people watched it. But here's Karen, the one person who watched it, who you actually, had she not seen that video, here's what heaven's about. This is what her life would have been. Dead at 31 because she destroyed her body. But because of your video that only got 87 views, here was her life. Grandma, happy life. Wouldn't it be worth it?
Yeah, and
so stick with me.
Okay.
So then make the video. You don't need to be 8 million on Instagram. You don't need to be fucking Dr. Phil or Oprah. Mm-hmm. Just make the fucking video. One person. One person. One person. I've been in that mindset the whole time, Sid. Now mm-hmm. It's more than one person, but I'm still in the one person game.
Right. And I love that. I love like how, I know you aren't a huge fan of compliments, but I love how humble you are about it. And you know, I've been doing that. I do have a TikTok. I've been posting like minimum 4 times a day, and I'm not doing it for the followers. Like honestly, I could care less about that. I just want, I don't know how to actually get it to the people who I'm trying to
they'll find you.
Connect it to.
They'll find you. Put hashtag, you know, put 6 hashtags in your TikTok and Instagram and they'll find you. Mm-hmm. If you don't think there's little girls left and right putting hashtag eating disorder, clicking hashtag eating disorder, hashtag bulimia, like if you don't think that's happening, you're out of your mind. Put the hashtags in there, make the content. They'll find you.
Okay.
Somebody's gonna find your TikTok in 19 years and it's gonna mm-hmm. help her. Tell the truth, one person. Tell the truth, one person. Mm-hmm. They'll find you. People are worried about getting bigger. Mm-hmm. Focus on putting out the message.
That's what I want. Like, I want to even obviously start with one person, but like, I'm a dreamer. And in my dream, like, I'd love to like speak in front of a.
I understand.
And help them. And,
I understand. Mm-hmm. But that means you're worried about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Worry about them.
Yeah. And I want that too. Like, I have friends in my program and I love them.
So many people roll up to me and like, Gary, I want to be like you. I want to give. And then you listen to the next 13 things out of their mouth and they're saying, I want to make $100,000 speaking and drive in private jets and have fun. Like mm-hmm. they're not about that giving life. Mm-hmm. If you want to help them, then help them. Yeah, making the videos is helping them. They'll find you. Of course you want to speak in all this. I get that. And maybe you're good enough and maybe you're not. And that's okay. But one more time with the heaven story. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be worth it? And just like you figured out something else wasn't in the cards for you, you may find out that you speaking on public stages about this is not in the cards for you either. And that will be amazing, or maybe it will be. But you're never gonna figure it out if you're not completely in a selfless mind state of producing content on all the platforms. People don't produce on all the platforms because like I have no Twitter followers. So they don't wanna have 3 Twitter followers because they're not worried about the audience, they're worried about themselves. They don't wanna waste their time. Right. They don't like how it feels to have no audience. Mm-hmm.
So then if like, I know I wanna like, I wanna make those videos, make an impact even on that one person, but what do I do if that one person doesn't wanna hear it? Like they just don't believe me.
You didn't believe anybody either back then.
Yeah, I know.
Sweetheart, most of the people don't believe the shit that's coming out of my mouth. They say they believe it, but they don't act on it, which means they don't believe it. Mm-hmm. The student always finds the teacher, right? There's that saying, right? The student finds it, some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Listen to me, they will find it. There are people who've been followed, watch this in the comments. I don't know what you're watching on, but I'm gonna watch it. There are people who've listened to me for 4 years and then it was one time, one video, they were ready. I broke them down. They broke themselves down. if they don't want to hear it, there's nothing me and you are going to do about it.
Yeah.
More importantly, go back to what I said, the one person. If everybody here who wants the fucking fame and the action focused on just one person in their life, which would be so worth it by human standards, it's fucking huge. It's fucking, what's the matter with people? Impacting one person and making their life better is all time. Why do you think, like, it's all time.
Yeah.
Somebody will be ready to hear you.
Okay.
But if you start putting out for the purpose of helping one person versus how do I get more followers, your content will be different. And
yeah.
When your content is different, it'll start working.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry, I know you have people. I've been coming out on TikTok, speaking to the camera, talking about experiences, but I've seen some other people doing what they eat in a day, and I just don't know if that's the best idea because that can
Do you want to do that?
Not really.
So don't fucking do it. Just because they have 8,000 followers or 8 million followers because they do that, that works for them. You do you.
Yeah.
Pick a nice little song in the background so they find you through a trending song. Use the hashtags and fucking stay consistent.
Okay.
One person. Wow. You don't need to figure out your life in the next 10 years. I don't give a fuck what your parents say.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Woof, good show. I'm even late for my next meeting. Dustin, this was one of the best shows, Dust. They were like bangers. This was like a great album.
Yeah, and you had a lot of good quotes too.
Yeah, there's a ton of shit. I'm going to be so pissed at the team if we don't have at least 6 fucking Instagrams out of this. There's some like bangers here.
Yeah.
This was as good of a show. Like it was consistently like high quality, like good vibes. I was in a good zone. Like this is one of the better shows.
It's the Abel Franco.
Yeah, I mean, the Abel Franco part definitely started me off right, you know, and running up those fucking hills this morning, I really think that it was a good one. Like, I feel like this was one of the better shows. Sign up for Wine Text. Check out allinchallenge.com. Pass on the show to others. Please, if you do anything, take the URL you just watch us on and share it in your social. I love you guys. See ya. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people, you know, it's so funny, people that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Outstanding and Inspiring by Raven G. I am so happy to have found Tea with Gary V. I listen every morning. I find his authenticity extremely inspiring. His conversation set the tone for my day by inspiring me to think outside of the status quo. I gain something from every conversation he has, whether it is with someone just starting out in their career or more seasoned professionals looking to elevate their work. He imparts wisdom, truth, and practical advice in everything he offers. Through his authenticity, he empowers me to speak my truth, embrace my imperfections, be authentic, be humble, and work hard. So grateful. Thanks, Raven. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.